Hey everyone, it's Brooke Hogeson with Senator Joni Ernst. We're going to get started in just a second. So the way this is going to work, because it's such a tight schedule today, the Senator will open up with just a few remarks, and then we'll open up the line for question. I would ask, though, that everybody mute their phones so that we can make sure that we're hearing everybody properly. Also, we are going to be taking the questions in order of RSVPs. So we're going to get through as many as we can, but with a tight window, it's going to be difficult. So I would ask that you please, first of all, limit your questions just to one so we can get to as many folks as possible. In addition to that, if we aren't able to get to your question, you can obviously email any of us, you know, here on the press team. Our official email that will go to all three of us is press@ernst.senate.gov. Otherwise, most of you should have, you know, my email address, or you can give me a call, whatever works best, and we will do our best to get back with you. Again, that email is press, P-R-E-S-S, at ernst.senate.gov. So with that, we will have the senator give a few remarks, and then I will go through the list. So when you hear your name, then that's when you can unmute your phone and go ahead and ask your question. So with that, I will turn it over to the senator.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Joni, and I am just thrilled to be here today. We just came out of this swearing-in ceremony, was able to spend just a brief moment with my family and friends that were here for today's ceremonies and activities, and I am truly humbled and honored to be here. It has been just a remarkable journey for me. So very proud to be Iowa's newest United States Senator. So thank you all for joining us today on the call. And many of you have heard me say throughout the campaign season that it is a long way from Red Oak to Washington, D.C. And wow, you know, I am here. I am here now. And I am excited that I am in a position now to bring a little bit of Iowa to Washington, D.C. And I've talked also about the Iowa Way. And I know many of you have asked me about the Iowa Way, especially during the campaign season. And really, what does that mean to me? And what the Iowa Way means to me is really working with our neighbors and finding those solutions to so many problems that we are facing as a nation, rather than resorting to politics as usual, that a lot of our constituents and most Americans have really come to expect from Washington, D.C. But what I want to make clear to everyone is that I am here to work for Iowans. And I will do that, and we will craft and implement real solutions as we, of course, chart a new path forward for not only Iowa, but the nation as well. So I am excited, very excited about this opportunity. And a lot of folks know me as Iowa out here, and it's been a wonderful experience just in the past few days that I've been here in D.C. They all know who I am, and they know that I am all about Iowa. So part of the Iowa Way, too, that I talked about in the campaign that I do want to push forward here in Washington, D.C., is the importance of hard work, service, and sacrifice. And as a mother and a soldier and that independent voice for Iowa, I am committed to these very values here in Washington, D.C. So during this Congress, there really is no limit to what we can accomplish when we are working together. So we know that we must grow a vibrant economy, and I want to do that by ensuring that our veterans receive promised quality care and that our military has the tools to defend our nation's security. I want to make sure that we are protecting Iowa farmers and our vital agricultural interests and ensuring that the federal government is running effectively and efficiently. I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again while I have a captive audience, but America's greatness does not come from the government. America's greatness comes from its people. And I believe that you know, and my constituents know, what is best for Iowa more than those people that are here in Washington, D.C. And that is one of the reasons why I am going to launch my 99-county tour across Iowa in the next few weeks. And I'm doing that just as Chuck Grassley has done for the past 34 years. I am doing that to ensure that I meet and hear from as many of my fellow Iowans as possible. I am going to also give you my website, and if please feel free to direct your listeners or your readers to this website. It is ernst.senate.gov, and I would love for Iowans to tell me what they would like to see Congress accomplish. I would love to hear from them. So I know that we are going to work very hard in this Congress, and we will work between the House and between the Senate to make sure that we enact good legislation. And together we're going to work to build an America that is ensuring we are leaving a better Iowa and a better country for our children and grandchildren. And I do look forward to hearing from all of your listeners and readers very, very soon on what they'd like to see us do. So again, thank you all so much for being with me today. This has been a tremendous day and a great opportunity for me personally and also for the people of Iowa. So I look forward to working for them, serving them in this new capacity. So thank you all so much, and I think we'll probably get started with a few questions. Okay, Brooke?
So first up, we'll have O.K. Henderson.
Senator.
You are on mute.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, Kay. How are you?
I'm grand. You've said you want Senate Republicans to be aggressive on a variety of fronts. I'm wondering if you view having a first vote on the XL pipeline as appropriately aggressive.
I think it is aggressive. It is a carryover that we're seeing from the last Congress, and I think it's important. So many people have spoken and want to see this go through. I hear from a number of Iowa groups and individuals that are excited about the prospect of the Keystone Pipeline. So I look forward to digging into that even further as one of our first points of business.
Okay, and next we have Kevin Hall.
Senator, how are you?
I am good, Kevin. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You requested Tom Harkin enter there with you to take the oath. Why the decision to have both Senator Harkin and Senator Grassley with you?
Well, I think that's a great question, Kevin, and many will understand that I disagree very much with some of the ideologies that Senator Harkin represents. But what I am showing Iowa is that I can be better. I am the better person, and I do believe in working with others. And it's a signal to the colleagues across the aisle that we are not going to agree with every item out there, but I do think that we can find those areas we do agree on, and I certainly would love to work with them on those areas that we agree on, whether that's the Keystone Pipeline, because I know a number of others across the aisle would like to see that enacted, and tax reform and working on our budget. I know that I'll be able to find fellow senators, especially those who are, you know, within my caucus, of course, we're going to agree wholeheartedly on a number of those issues, but we need to pull a few of those Democratic senators also, and I know that we can find a way to do that. So that was my signal that I appreciate Senator Harkin for his many, many years of service to Iowa, and that I look forward to moving ahead with two wonderful seats for Republicans for Iowa.
Okay, next we have Jim Boyd.
Actually, this is Gary Barrett standing in. Senator Ernst, you've been named by ABC as one of the six women in Congress to watch this time around. Given that, the attention's focused on you, is that change your ideas about what you want to do, or put some things that you want to talk about to the forefront?
Well, thanks, Gary. I appreciate that. And people over the past couple of days have pointed out that, oh, Joni, you're on this list or that list or the other. And I'll be honest, Gary, I didn't know I was on those lists. So this is, you know, it's exciting news. Thank you for telling me. But so, no, it doesn't really change my focus at all. My focus is working very hard for Iowa. I want to highlight Iowa and make sure that we are growing our economy, whether it's in our agricultural industries, manufacturing industries, technological industries, whatever it might be, that I am growing Iowa, doing right by the taxpayers of Iowa, making sure that we make our federal government smaller and more effective. So a number of those things. My focus hasn't changed at all. You know, it's nice. I am honored and I guess I'm flattered that I'm on those lists, but I don't pay attention so much to the media that's coming from outside Iowa. I really do want to stay very focused on Iowa and the priorities that I laid out during the campaign.
Okay, and then next we have Ed Tibbetts.
Hi, Senator. Congratulations.
Thanks, Ed, so much.
I wanted to ask you your take on some of the actions that President Obama has taken since the election on immigration and on Cuba specifically. How do you think that will affect the working relationship between Congress and the White House?
Well, of course, it makes it difficult because it would be nice to see that the president was willing to work with the new Congress, and so taking action early, it does make it a little muddier than what we would like to see. But we're going to move forward with the agenda that we have laid out. I think that's very important that we stay focused. We will have to address some of these executive actions at some point, but we're going to continue moving ahead with what we believe is right for the American people and, of course, for me, focusing on what is right for Iowa. So, you know, the president will do what the president will do, and we as a Congress will work very hard to make sure that we are following those promises that we made during the campaign and efforts to make lives better here in the United States.
Okay, next we will do Catherine Lucy.
Hi, Senator. How are you doing?
I am good, Catherine. How's the baby?
Good, very good.
Fantastic.
I was wondering, two of the things you talked a lot about in the campaign trail were tax reform and also changes to the Affordable Care Act. Any specifics you can talk about policies you'd like to see that you plan to propose in mm-hmm. the coming months?
Nothing different than what I have said on the campaign trail, Catherine. We will be getting together in our committees and, of course, as a conference and discussing some of those changes. I know there are a member of freshmen that also campaigned on tax reform and, of course, repealing and replacing Obamacare with marketplace solutions that are focused on patients. And that's what we will continue to do, but we need to work together as a conference and refine some of our ideas, and we're just getting started. I don't even have my desk really unpacked yet, or my boxes unpacked for my desk, and so we will get started on that very, very soon. But as far as specifics, I can't lay those out for you right now.
Okay, next we have Jennifer Jacobs. Okay. We'll give Jen just another second in case her phone was muted. Otherwise, we'll move on. All right. So let's go over to Aaron Murphy.
Thank you. I'm actually going to yield my time to others, but I'll just say congratulations, Senator Ernst, and thanks for the call today.
Thanks so much, Aaron. I appreciate it.
All right, and then we will then move to Nate Shamba from ABC5.
I also have no questions, but thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Okay. Then next we'll go to Ann Hughes from KWQC. Okay. Then we can go to Aaron over at KCCI.
Hi, Senator. How are you? This is Erin at KCCI in Des Moines.
I am good, Erin. How have you been?
Good. Hey, just wanted to ask you a question about being the first, female representative from Iowa and kind of your reaction to that and kind of that, that honor, I guess, so to speak.
Well, it's not something that I campaigned on through the last year and a half, but having this honor, it means very, very much to me. I haven't spent a lot of time, to be honest, and I've said this to a number of other reporters and people that have asked, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it yet, and it really didn't hit me until the actual night of the election when my daughter Jenny, who had her daughter Maddie, our three-year-old granddaughter, with her, and she said, you know, you are going to set such a great example, and someday Maddie is going to be reading the history books about you. And that's when it really it hit me. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about it, but I am honored because I know that it is very, very significant. And the fact that we have so many talented, wonderful young women across the state of Iowa that they really want to achieve great things. And now we have broken away this glass ceiling when it comes to serving in federal office. And I do hope that we will see a number of many other female candidates coming forward and saying, this is what I want to do. I believe I can make Iowa a better place. I believe I can make the United States a better place. And I really want to see that. We have to be determined. We have to stick to, you know, our principles, but we want to encourage all young women to consider great things, whether it's in politics or anywhere else. We want them to follow what their dreams and their goals are. So I think that's a wonderful first step. Something else that has been pointed out to me, and I am very honored to have this distinction, is to also be the first female combat veteran to serve in the United States Senate. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to be the first woman to serve from Iowa also.
Okay, and then we will go to Jack Brooks from KCAU. No Jack, I guess. So let's go to Jeff Hutton from the Times Republican.
Congratulations, Senator.
Thanks, Jeff.
Given the nature of how partisan campaigns can be, and now that you've been sworn into the U.S. Senate, and of course now the real work begins, what kind of assurances can you give Iowans, whether they be Republicans or Democrats or independents, that you're going to represent all their views and not just, in your case, not just Republican views?
Well, I can say they can look at the work that I've done in the Iowa State Senate as well. I came from the Iowa State Senate, worked there as a minority member, but worked extremely well with my Democratic colleagues. When it was right for Iowa, we worked together. I see that happening here in the United States Senate as well. If I believe that it's right for Iowa, I will work with my colleagues, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. I am a conservative person, and I know that we have a number of other freshmen out there that are conservative, a very conservative conference. But we know that there are a number of things, as I've mentioned before, tax reform, really digging into the budget. There are even parts of Obamacare that many of my Democratic colleagues would like to work with us on making better for the American people or finding a different way of doing business for the American people. And if that's what they want to do, I'm very happy to work with them on those things. So just leading by example and having that experience in the Iowa State Senate, and it carries over even to activities outside of politics as well. Serving in the National Guard worked very well with people of all different thoughts and ideas, and we always wrapped that up and brought it together through brilliant discussions and finding the right way of doing business within our units. So it does take a lot of communication, but I am certainly willing to do that. So that's my assurance to the Iowa people, is just see the work that I have done in my personal life, in my life in the National Guard, my life in service to the country, and now my service to the people of Iowa and the United States Senate.
Okay, and we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon here, but is Thomas Barton from the Dubuque Telegraph Herald?
Yes, thank you, Senator, for taking the time, and congratulations.
Thanks, Thomas.
There's been talk lately from Republicans on Capitol Hill of possible new sanctions against Iran. Was wondering where you stand on the issue and response to Obama administration officials who worry that imposing more sanctions during nuclear negotiations could derail the possibility of a nuclear agreement.
Well, I think that Iran is really dragging its feet, and it's just furthering negotiations at a time that we need to be forcing their hand a little bit. I do feel very strongly about this issue, and I think a number of others within our conference agree that Iran really, really does need to work with our government, needs to work with others in the region to make sure that they are not developing nuclear capabilities with the intention of harming others. So I think that it's something that we need to take a very careful look at and make sure that we are working with our allies, other members of that region, as well as Iran, to do the right thing so that they are not developing nuclear weapons.
Okay, and then we have Jennifer Hemmingson from the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Hi, Senator.
How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm doing great. I just wanted to clarify something. You were a victim. I don't know if hoax is the right word, but there was some misinformation going around about your position on SNAP.
Yes.
Around the New Year.
Yeah.
So welcome to politics, right? But
yeah.
Can you clarify for us what your position is on SNAP?
Well, I think it's a very important program, and so I was very upset when Esquire based a blurb in an article based on a satirical website. They obviously did not do very good research when they put together that article, and you would think a magazine of that caliber would do a little better research. But it was bad information that came out of that satirical website. I feel very strongly that the program is needed. We have many, many families, not only in Iowa, but across the United States, that need this very type of assistance. So, no, I would not be eliminating the SNAP program or the food stamp program. I do believe that there are certain abuses that can be found within the program that need to be corrected, and I see that across many different programs that exist within the federal government. But I do believe that families that need that assistance should receive that assistance.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are a few minutes over, so we're going to have to wrap up now. But as I said, if you have additional questions or need something, please email us. We're at press, P-R-E-S-S, at ernst.senate.gov. And let us know if you need anything else. Thank you all so much for joining today, and we'll talk to you soon.